Next case for argument, United States v. Jones. Ms. Gambino.
Good morning, Judge Posner, Judge Wood, and Judge Evans. Christopher Jones, according to the district court, is totally rehabilitated, has conquered his drug dependency, become a minister in his church, ministers meaningfully to large numbers of youth in his community where his absence will work a significant loss, and has strengthened his relationship to his family such that his wife and his children will suffer a devastating loss from his incarceration. Incarceration of Christopher Jones, beyond some modest punishment necessary in order not to deprecate the seriousness of the offense, serves no purpose and will damage his family, his community, and perhaps even his own strength and hopefulness.
Ms. Gambino, that all may be true, or it may simply be the district court judge's opinion about mandatory minimum sentences, but this court in Binford and Burke and there have been other decisions as well, has considered how one counts criminal history points, particularly with these supervision sentences. Mr. Jones pleaded guilty to these various offenses. And if you have too many criminal history points, you're not entitled to the safety valve. Nothing in Booker changed statutory minimums. And indeed, Congress is apparently thinking of enacting lots more of them. We'll see what happens on that front. But at least at the moment, this one is a well-established one. And if it seems like a harsh sentence, it's not something that came from the district court. It's something that came from Congress.
Your Honor, with respect to the calculation of criminal history points, that's our primary reason here, is to ask you to reconsider and look more closely at counting Illinois state supervision dispositions, not sentences, as criminal history points. What I'm asking the court to do...
But that's an issue disconnected from excessively harsh punishment.
Well, in this case, Your Honor, it really isn't, because Mr. Jones qualified for the safety valve apart from this particular issue and could have benefited from the safety valve if the court had a different interpretation of how to treat...
I know, but you can't connect the two. That is, you can't adopt a statutory interpretation of, supervision because it's sympathetic to the particular defendant.
I understand that, Your Honor. I'm not asking you to do that. I think this would apply more generally. I think that there hasn't been a careful or nuanced enough look at this particular provision under Illinois state law. For instance, Burke and Binford are different contextual circumstances and make sense in a way that they don't when applied to Mr. Jones's case, because both Burke and Binford involve the question of whether the defendant should get 2 points for being on a sentence of supervision at the time he committed his instant offense.
But can I just go back for a minute? Because the Illinois state law itself says discharge and dismissal upon a successful conclusion of a disposition shall be deemed without adjudication of guilt and shall not be termed a conviction for purposes of disqualification or disabilities imposed by law upon conviction of a crime. That's very particular language. And the Illinois Supreme Court itself has held, in a case People versus Coleman, that use of a prior disposition of supervision as an aggravating factor in sentencing is not a, quote, disqualification or disability imposed by law. So even if we were to look at how Illinois regards this, and that's a whole separate question, maybe this is just a federal issue for the federal guidelines, but it seems to me even if we went into Illinois law, we would see that these supervision dispositions and what Illinois is trying to do to give people a second chance are not the last word on the use of these things for sentencing. And he And as Judge Posner says, it's an all or nothing thing. No one with terms of supervision, maybe that would be fine with you, you know, no one with terms of supervision would get criminal history points, I guess, under your view. But that doesn't seem to be how Illinois looks at this, nor how the sentencing guidelines do.
Your Honor, I respectfully disagree with that for a couple of reasons. The first is also provided for in the Illinois statute regarding supervision is that one of the things that the judge has to decide in determining whether to give a sentence, or it's not a sentence, it's a disposition. That's one of my main arguments under the guidelines. It's clear under Illinois law that it's to be determined without adjudication of guilt and not a conviction.
But to answer this, just I understand from Coleman that if somebody like Mr. Jones shows up again in Illinois court on one of these things, is he regarded as somebody with no criminal record whatsoever, or does the Illinois sentencing court have the ability to look at that prior encounter with the law as an aggravating factor in sentencing, as a recidivism factor of some type?
It can be looked at as an aggravating factor. In the Coleman context, it's because there's a specific issue of law which says if you have one prior supervision, then that can determine how you're treated the next time around.
So it does have some, it's not like it never happened. It's not like, well, erasing the past.
In a sense, it is, in this, because there's also a provision that says that the defendant gets supervision if the defendant and the public would be best served if the defendant were not to receive a criminal record. So our position with respect to the federal sentencing approach would be not that it could not be considered at all, but as an expungement is considered, you don't count that for the criminal history points, but you can consider it in the context of whether the criminal history adequately reflects what actually happened. Because in effect, what you have after a supervision is no conviction. At no point is there an entry of judgment or a conviction. In fact, the language of the statute distinguishes between sentences of probation and conditional discharge and dispositions of supervision. So when a person comes through the court process with supervision, they don't ever have a conviction, and the charges are dismissed at the end, something that is an important distinction between that sort of case and conditional discharge and probation.
But there's an adjudication of guilt before you're put on supervision.
In terms of adjudication, no, Your Honor. Insofar as adjudication is an entry of judgment or a finding or a final determination.
Not necessarily. What? There's a plea of guilty, an adjudication of guilt, putting on somebody on supervision at the end of that time. Relief granted under Illinois law, but there is an adjudication of guilt. Otherwise, wouldn't be any reason to put somebody on supervision.
Your Honor, in practical terms, there is often not a plea of guilty. There is sometimes a stipulation to the facts, which is different. And
there's a plea of guilty to all these shoplifting cases here.
Well, we don't know what happened with
you
the...
You can't sentence a person unless he's found guilty in some sense, right?
Well, this is not a sentence.
That would be a true novelty of a criminal procedure and simplify things greatly, but wouldn't that be a little strange? Right?
Your Honor, the whole purpose of supervision is so that there is no criminal record created, and this person is not...
But it's one thing to eliminate a person's criminal record. It's another thing to say that criminal record was created without a finding of guilt, right?
It's quite a separate thing. There is a difference, though, between
I couldn't say, well, I don't like your argument, so I'm sentencing you to supervision. But if you complete your supervision, you don't make any bad arguments, you know, for the next decade, I will not... make any record. You'll have no criminal record, right?
That's
correct.
There'd
be something strange about that, wouldn't there?
There would be, but that's not what's going
on.
Well,
I think it's the same. But I know, but that's what you think is going on. That is, you think these sentences of supervision are imposed without any finding of guilt.
There is a finding of guilt. That finding of guilt is never entered. There is never a conviction. And so these cases should be treated as
expungements. But how can you sentence a person without a conviction? That's what I don't understand.
Because the conviction is the entry of the finding of guilt. These proceedings are deferred.
No, you can't sentence. There has to be, as Judge Evans said, first there's a conviction and a sentence, and then the conviction is expunged. But first there has to be a conviction, or you couldn't have any kind of sentence.
there is a finding and a diversionary disposition. It is not a sentence following a conviction. There is a finding of guilt, after which there is this.
Yeah, that's everything the point. There is a finding of guilt. That's the key thing.
If someone insisted on pleading not guilty, you couldn't say, well, even though you want to plead not guilty, I'm going to put you on supervision for.
No, you couldn't do that.
Years.
But the point and the distinguishing factor is that you never have a conviction and you don't have a sentence. The charges are dismissed. And so for purposes of calculating criminal history, it should be treated as if it were expunged. What happens is you're left at the end of a supervision with an arrest record, not a record of conviction, not a record of having been sentenced. And you can expunge your arrest record and go on from there. And so with that respect, we would urge the court to take a more nuanced position when with respect to supervision, as opposed to continuing with Burke and Binford, equating it with a sentence of probation.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Gambino. Ms. Egan?
Good morning. May it please the court. The sole issue in this case has been settled by established precedent, and we ask that you affirm.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
And thank you, Ms. Gambino. And were you appointed?
No, Your Honor.
Well, thank you anyway. Thank both.